Chapter 14. Following Edric to the edge of the moat, I peered down into the water, thinking about how often I'd passed by without really looking at it. The moat had been a fixture, part of the castle fortifications that I knew we needed, but it had never seemed particularly important. I'd certainly never considered swimming in it before. A breeze blew past, carrying the stench of decaying garbage. "Phew," I said, wrinkling my nose. "Do you smell that? Is that the water?" Edric lowered his head and sniffed. "It sure is." I stepped back from the edge, my stomach churning. Having grown up near the moat, I suppose I'd been used to the smell. Maybe it was because of my enhanced frog senses, or maybe the moat had gotten stinkier since I'd been gone. But for whatever reason, I now found the stench overwhelming. "I'm not swimming in anything that smells that bad," I said. "We don't have much of a choice, do we?" "We could wait until morning when they lower the drawbridge."
"But then all the wagons and foot traffic will be going in," Edric said, shaking his head.
"Crossing the moat is probably the best idea. Just keep your mouth closed and swim as fast as you can." I looked at the moonlight's reflection on the moat. The other bank suddenly seemed so far away, so high above the water. "I don't think I can do this."
"Sure you can," said Edric. "You just need a positive attitude."
"Fine. I'm positive I can't do this." Edric sighed.
"You're right. You can't do it if you don't believe you can. But don't imagine yourself failing. Imagine yourself doing it. Picture yourself swimming across and climbing up the other side. I know you can do it if you really want to."
I closed my eyes and tried to picture myself swimming through cool, clear water, speeding to the opposite side of the moat and climbing the stones as if I'd done it every day of my life. Unfortunately, I could still smell the water, and the illusion was hard to maintain. It was easier to imagine Edric swimming beside me, holding his nose with one hand and paddling with the other, saying, "Picture yourself as a bubble floating across the water," his voice fading as he disappeared in a stinky green fog. I giggled. "Now that I can believe," I said under my breath as I slipped into the moat. I tried to breathe as little as possible, but it wasn't easy. The cold, greasy water made me gasp, and I gagged when it almost got in my mouth. Holding my head as high as I could, I tried to keep my face dry. A large glob of something soft and sticky bumped into me, and I shuddered with disgust. "Thank goodness it's dark and I can't see what that was," I thought.
"Emma, hurry up," said Edric. "I think there's something in here with us."
"There sure is," I agreed. "There's all sorts of garbage floating in this water. This is disgusting."
"No, I mean something alive. I just felt something swim past my feet."
A small wave nudged me forward, carrying me closer to the side of the moat.
"Edric," I whispered, suddenly afraid to talk out loud. "Did you feel that? What could have made that wave?"
"Something bigger than a frog," Edric whispered back.
"Here it comes again.
Hurry, Emma. We're almost there."
With the dry ground edging the moat only feet away, the castle loomed over us forbiddingly. Although I had always loved my home, I had never seen it from the moat before. Now I wished I never had. I kicked as hard as I could, arrowing through the water, and almost bumped into the fish. It was a small fish, only half as big as I was, but it startled me just the same. Its eyes were red and watery and swollen. It looked as though a third eye had begun to form between the first two, a shrunken eye that rattled loosely in its socket. Something brushed against my feet, but when I looked, the fish was still keeping pace with me. Evidently, the deformed little fish wasn't the only creature that lived in the moat. When I finally bumped into the stone wall, I reached up and touched it with my hand. Edric, who had already climbed out of the water, grasped my wrist and began to pull me up.
"Hurry," said Edric. "There's something in the water behind you."
I looked down.
Reflected in the light of the rising moon, a large silvery back arced above the water, heading toward me. Terror lent me the strength I needed.
Digging my toes into the crumbling stone lining the moat, I fairly flew up the side and fell into Edric's arms, knocking him off his feet.
Something slapped the surface of the moat, splashing us with a wave of fetid water. Without looking back, we scrambled to safety as far from the moat as we could get.
"Now what?"
I asked, wiping the moisture from my face with the back of my hand. Standing on the narrow stone ledge, I still felt exposed to whatever lived in the moat.
"Find a way in, I suppose. There has to be a hole or a missing stone or something we can use to get inside. We just have to look until we find it."
"And what if there isn't?"
"Then we wait until they open the door in the morning. Don't worry. I grew up in a castle, too, remember? Little boys explore everything. I found hundreds of chinks in the walls of my parents' castle. Places too small for a little boy, but certainly large enough for a couple of frogs. If anyone can find a way into your castle, it's me."
The moon was high overhead when we finally found an opening. Although it never grew any wider, it extended far back through the castle wall, forming a cramped, dark tunnel. Dried rodent droppings and beetle casings littered the floor, telling the tale of those who had passed that way before. The air was dank and smelled musty, but it was a way in, and I was thrilled that we had found it. The tunnel ended abruptly at a large open space. I was disoriented until I realized that we had reached the Great Hall, the heart of the castle and the most important room. A warren of corridors and lesser chambers led from the hall, making it the focal point of the entire building. The remains of a fire burned in the massive stone fireplace, and my father's dogs lay twitching in their sleep on the hearth, their bellies filled with table scraps.
"This is wonderful," I whispered into Edric's eardrum. "We don't have far to go now. The stairs leading to my aunt's rooms are at the end of that corridor."
"What about the dogs?"
"We'll have to be careful not to wake them, that's all."
Edric looked skeptical, but I was insistent.
"Edric," I said, "we have to go now. It will be so busy here in the morning that it will be impossible to pass through then. If we don't go now, we might as well turn around and go back to the swamp."
"I can't help it. I don't like dogs. And look at the size of those monsters. Are you sure they're all asleep?"
"Of course I'm sure. Can't you hear them snoring? Here, I'll go first. Just stay close and be as quiet as you can."
I hopped once, but the slap of my feet on the stone floor echoed throughout the great hall. I froze and listened to the dogs. Their moans, whimpers, snores, and slow breathing assured me that they still slept. One dog growled in its sleep, while another ran, its legs twitching, its body never leaving the floor. My father's biggest hound, Bowser, no longer a duckling, lay on his back with his legs in the air, flapping away as if he were trying to fly. I decided that Grissina must have finally found the right parchment to restore Bowser's dogness. When there was no change in the rhythm of their breathing, I began to hop again, stopping every now and then to listen. We had reached the far wall and had only a little farther to go when I hopped into a puddle of dog pee, splashing myself with the smelly fluid from head to toe.
"Oh, yuck,"
I said, forgetting the need for silence. My head whipped around when I heard one of the dogs begin to stir. It was Bowser. Blearily stumbling to his feet, the big hound lurched in our direction.
"Quick, in here," said Edric, pointing to a wooden bucket.
Although the bucket was familiar, I couldn't remember what it was normally used for, but with Bowser on his way, we didn't have time to be picky.
"One, two, three, jump," I said, and we both leaped over the edge and into tepid water. "Edric," I whispered as it dawned on me where we were. "This is the dog's water. What if he's coming to get a drink?"
"Why didn't you tell me?
I just realized."
"Shh, here he comes."
I shrank against the side of the bucket as Bowser's great head came into view. The dog is half asleep, I thought, so maybe he won't notice. I knew the moment that Bowser sensed us, for his ears pricked up. His rank breath washed over me as he looked into the bucket. When I saw Edric swim to the bottom, I knew that it was up to me.
"Quack,"
I said, sounding as much like a duck as I could.
"Quack, quack, quack."
"What the..." Bowser jerked his head back in surprise.
"Quack, quack, quack,"
I said again, bobbing up and down in the water like a duck.
"Oh, no! Another one!"
whined Bowser as he backed away. Although I could no longer see him, I could hear his claws scrabbling on the stone floor as he scurried out of the hall. Edric was still underwater when I decided that it was safe to go. Sighing, I reached down and pulled him to the surface. "The dog is gone," I said. "We can get out now." "I guess it was too dark for him to see us under the water," Edric said, boosting himself onto the rim of the bucket. I slid over the edge and plopped onto the floor. "Or maybe he's afraid of ducks." "Why would you keep ducks in your great hall?"
"I never said we did." Turning to look behind us, Edric scratched his head with his toe, and I heard him mumble softly, "But I thought you said..." After trying so hard to be quiet in the great hall, entering the corridor was a relief.
"I'll race you," I whispered, eager to stretch my muscles.
"You don't stand a chance, Slowpoke," Edric whispered back.
We raced across the floor, extending our legs in long, bounding leaps. Arrow slits in the tower walls let in the moonlight, making the steps easy to see. We hopped up one pie-slice-shaped step after another, racing to see who would reach the top first. Edric won, even though he was still wearing the vial of dragon's breath, landing on the top step seconds before me. When I reached the landing, I was panting and tired, but happier than I'd been in a long time. "You won," I said, trying to catch my breath, "only because you have longer legs than I do." "That's not it at all," he said, panting just as heavily. "I won because I'm a superior hopper and you're a slowpoke."
"It doesn't matter. We're here now."
I grinned so hard my face hurt.
"With my Aunt Grissina's help, we'll be humans again in no time."